Indulge in holiday cravings with the nutrition you need from Kachava's all-in-one whole body shake. It's 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. Try their newest flavors, like the limited edition chocolate mint. With Kachava, you're getting the highest quality ingredients. No fillers, no nonsense. Holiday nutrition has never been this easy or delicious. Go to Kachava, K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, and use code SHAKE for 15% off. Indulge in all your holiday faves this season, knowing you're getting the good stuff your body craves with Kachava's all-in-one nutrition shake. It's your post-holiday recovery kit with 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and so much more. And it actually tastes delicious. With 6 indulgent flavors to choose from, it's easy to make a superfood-packed shake. From chocolate, vanilla, and chai to matcha, coconut acai, and strawberry, you can even savor the season with their limited edition chocolate mint. There are endless ways to personalize your Kachava, whether you prefer it straight up or enjoy adding fruit, peanut butter, nut milk, or even iced coffee. With every 2 scoops of Kachava, you're getting the highest quality ingredients. No fillers, no nonsense. Holiday nutrition has never been this easy or delicious. Go to kachava.com and use code SHAKE for 15% off. That's Kachava, K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, and use code SHAKE.
Folks, welcome back to the iHealth channel, iHealth Radio. Today, we're joined by the incredible Dr. Ben Miralia, a respected leader in modern dentistry and the visionary behind the Tooth Pillow, a game-changing innovation helping children sleep better, breathe better, and grow healthier smiles. Dr. Miralia has dedicated his career to understanding the connection between airway health, facial development, and long-term dental wellness. His work is transforming the way families think about oral health, not just fixing teeth, but improving lives. We're excited to dive into the story behind the Tooth Pillow, the science that drives it, and the mission that inspires Dr. Miralia's work. Dr. Miralia, welcome to the show.
Yeah, hey, thanks so much for having me tonight. Thank you, appreciate it.
Well, listen, I mean, it is impressive, as you and I would briefly chat a little bit. The concept of dentistry is usually around toothache and you know, taking teeth out and putting some crowns and getting some root canals, and that's really what it takes, right? That's kind of like what we know, maybe tooth cleaning, whatever.
Yeah.
But really, this is deeper than that. But you know, we're gonna dive into that in a second. But we do want to get into the story behind this whole. I mean, I'm sure as a kid, you know, maybe that's where it started. You started thinking, yeah, as a dentist, I want to be a dentist. Maybe you had a bad experience, a good experience. Why don't you take us back to that time where you really kind of started seeing dentistry in your forecast, and why did you even get into it? And then we'll deep dive into the rest.
Yeah, definitely. So I knew early on, like in high school, I was like, hey, I want to be a dentist. You know, like that character in the Rudolph the Reindeer show. So yeah, I knew in high school I wanted to be a dentist, you know, had some good experiences along the way. It seemed like a good thing. So sure enough, I got involved in dentistry. And then I spent 10 years doing what you said, like addressing the teeth. So my first 10 years was fixing teeth, and I fixed the teeth. You know, we made crowns, we made bridges, we made implants. We did all the things you were talking about because I was a dentist and I was focused on the teeth. And so that's what I delivered. But then about 10 years into this, I just started looking at things differently, took some courses, started to question. And when you start to question, you dig a little bit, you usually find something. And so I learned that, hey, maybe this isn't so much about the teeth. And so I was looking into growth and development, a little bit earlier type treatment for kids, because mostly I started to watch what was happening with the braces. And so you know, fixing teeth is one thing. You know, we all need that. You got to take care of the teeth and fix them occasionally. But when it came to moving the teeth at age 12, you're 11, 12 years old, you're getting braces, you're moving your teeth around. What I was noticing is, well, when the kid doesn't wear the retainer, they all shift back. And so it doesn't seem very stable. And the parent pays all this money, they wear the braces for years. You stop wearing your retainer, your teeth are shifting back. It didn't seem like, you know, any type of long-term stability there. So I start to dig. Then you start learning about, uh-oh, the teeth might be the symptom. If the teeth are the symptom, now you're treating the symptom when you're 12 years old getting braces. It's really the jaw size. So when we see crowded teeth or a bad bite, and you're thinking, oh, I have to move my teeth, I need braces, it's not really the teeth that are a problem, it's the jaw size. So when the jaws are smaller, the teeth are crowded and we have this bad bite. Now we get to 12 years old, we're getting braces to work on the teeth, but they're the symptom. The jaw size is the issue. So now that flips the whole thing upside down, because instead of waiting until you're 12 and working on the teeth, now we want to recognize this between 3 and 5 years old and get started earlier so that we could get the jaw size right. Because between 3 and 12, if you get the jaw size right, your teeth will basically go really close to where they belong. Then you either don't need braces or you need them for a little bit just to get the teeth like finished to perfectly straight.
Well, doctor, you know, it's funny, I'm listening to you. You know, this is a question actually I that always intrigued me, is like, well, it's more of an observation. Why is it that, I mean, we have more and more and more of braces in the last couple of decades? I mean, all my kids had them. My best friend's kids had them. I mean, I don't think of one of the children in the family that did not have braces. Yet in my generation, braces were not a thing. I mean, you had to really have an awful, you know, setup, you know, to actually get that, right? And so is there, I mean, I just, this is a question that maybe people are probably like, we just want to know, is there something that changed? I mean, is it our food? Is it something that, and by the way, I did ask this question before. I got some answer to it, but I think, you know, it is still irking. I still need to know more. And since you've touched on this whole thing about the jaw and how it all operates, and that's really the drive behind it, because maybe there's something in there. Maybe the growth, I guess, of the kids, you know, is not where it needs to be. Maybe we're living on infant milk and few other, you know, powder milks as opposed to regular natural mama milk. I don't know. So what is the science behind that? And in your work, because you know, I think because like I can tell you, my kids, they all had them, and you know, we had to actually work on the jaw as well with my kids to get it aligned, because my daughter had, you know, overlaying of some of the teeth. You know, my son had a tighter, you know, jaw. So it was kind of like, you know, an interesting, you know, phase, and it takes 5 years more to just get them, and they still have to maintain, you know, ongoing. Otherwise, they'll have to revert to some of that old problem. Yeah. So let's talk about the science behind it, and then before we even deep into, you know, dive into the actual innovations and things that you've put in place, you know, currently that makes a difference. But really, it's a big point that you touch on there. So let's dive into it, and let's talk science. I love this.
Yeah, definitely. Like you said, it's almost every kid today that you look at is going to have like crowded teeth and a bad bite. So very rare to meet a child who today would grow up and you'd notice, oh my goodness, look at this. You're 12 years old and all your teeth are right where they belong. You don't need any braces. Then go a little further, like turning 18 or 20, and actually their wisdom teeth fit in. And a child who would grow on their own and have all 32 teeth where they belong, unheard of. Today, we call that a unicorn. Like, that's how rare you would find that kid to grow perfectly and have all 32 teeth. You'd say, like, I just found a unicorn. Well, if we flip back a few hundred years ago, everybody grew to have 32 teeth. So it's the exact opposite going back a few hundred years ago. Now, there's a difference. And the fascinating thing is that anthropology research pinpoints what changed to have smaller jaws, crowded teeth, and the wisdom teeth don't fit. And it was the food, the early food. So it's the difference between soft and hard food at the early ages. So basically, when you look at the anthropology research, it's going to show you that all cultures, pre-industrial, pre-Western living, all cultures transition from breastfeeding to hard food early. But the Western industrial model is we transition to baby food or mush. So it's pureed, we blend it till the blender's on fire. And sure enough, we got this mush that's liquid, that's a drinking. So now, with early soft food, that baby food model, early soft food makes all the jaw muscles weaker. So our muscles respond to what we use them for. When you give the muscles something strong to do, they become stronger. But when you give early soft baby food like this, what happens is the muscles are going to be weaker because now you just have to drink your food. You don't have to chew the mush. Well, when we spent all those early months with the drinking of the softer pureed stuff, the muscles are weaker, and it's the muscles, the weakness doesn't promote bone growth. Whereas chewing harder things in the younger years gives the muscle strength, and that muscle activity is what grows the bone. So heavy chewing pressure, chewing harder food, makes the bones grow. When the bones grow, all your teeth go where they belong.
Indulge in holiday cravings with the nutrition you need from Kachava's All-in-One Whole Body Shake. It's 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. Try their newest flavors, like the limited edition Chocolate Mint. With Kachava, you're getting the highest quality ingredients. No fillers, no nonsense. Holiday nutrition has never been this easy or delicious. Go to Kachava, K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, and use code SHAKE for 15% off.
And then you end up with 32 of them. So it's a full flip from 99% had all the teeth perfectly placed prior to early soft food. Switch to soft food, and it just takes a few generations, which is like 100 years, to have most of the kids have crowded teeth and bad bites. So basically, it's softer food between those early, you know, that first 2 years of life. Softer foods. And now, the crazy thing is, in the industrial Western model, almost everything the child eats is softer. In other words, no child picks up an apple and eats it. They have an apple squeezer. Everything is a pureed version of, and even when you're talking about what we call solid foods, chicken nuggets, fries, the things kids are eating today, it's not the hard natural diet it used to be. The hard natural diet is just that. It's tougher to chew. And when you work those muscles, the bones grow better. So there's the transition. It's not in the genes. Like, a lot of people just blame the genes. Oh, it's the genes. You know, who in the family had the crazy teeth? That's where you got it from. But it's not that. It is in the environment. We kind of did this, you know, by accident, maybe not by accident, but it's softer food early makes weak muscles. Weak muscles make small bones, and small bones give us crowded teeth. Yeah. Crazy.
Well, you know, someone can check and ask, can say, well, okay, well, back in the days, 100 years ago, we had milk. I mean, you as a baby, you kind of nurture on, you know, mama's milk and stuff. And then eventually you get into solid food a year later or whatever. And, you know, some people even breastfeed until 2 years. So someone said, well, what is this, the same thing? How is it that then it wasn't the same? You know, when is really the critical point? Is that the 2 years before, you know, the first 2 years of life? Or is it like beyond that point where really you also start making a difference? And that's what actually differentiates old generation to the new generation. And by the way, I can tell you this personally. I have all my wisdom teeth. You know, I have never had braces. I mean, they may not look the best, but I'm okay with them. I'm comfortable. You know, and I didn't do any major work to them. But, you know, I guess I don't know. I mean, I'm in the 50s, so maybe there's something. You know, also I think there might be something else there, because every nation is different. I think, to your point, we talked about industrialization and things like that. You know, I was born overseas, and maybe, you know, the culture was different.
Yeah.
Food was different. They really fed you food when you were actually a baby.
Yes.
Not mashed up. You know, it's a different story. And you're right. Even today, our kids are surrounded with light and fluff food, and it's soft, everything, soft chew, everything, you know. Gummies and more gummies, you know.
Exactly.
And juices and stuff. I mean, everything is Slurpees and smoothies and, you know, all that. So is that the 2 years that is critical? Or, you know,
again,
someone can argue, or at least, you know, try to argue.
Yeah, definitely. The most important window is from 6 to 9 months old up to about 2 years. So that's the transition. Usually an infant can transition to starting to eat harder things between 6 and 9 months old. So the moment an infant can hold its head, like when they have head and neck control, and they have that instinct to pull to their mouth, because there's an instinct to get food to you, to nourish, to eat and survive, that kicks in about 6 to 9 months old. So really, by 9 months old, an infant should be able to hold something and gnaw on it. And in cultures that are pre-industrial, pre-Western living, basically for the whole history of the human race, 9 months old is where the kid would hold and grab and gnaw on things. And in cultures where it's pre-industrial, pre-Western, there is no processing, preserving, there's no refrigeration, there's nothing but sunlight. And so what they would do with the meat products is cure it. So curing with a little salt, it's like a leather. That's like the jerky. We call it jerky, but they would cure the meat with salt. Everything is kind of grown naturally, so it's got a harder consistency. And then you don't have blenders. So basically, 9 months old is the latest this gets started, but until two, because from that time frame, the first 2 years of life is where the majority of the jaw growth is going to grow. And then from two to four is the next increment. So in the early years, we're supposed to get all this good growth right away, and we don't have it from that weaker, softer foods, keeping the muscles weak. Because basically your muscle adapts to what you use it for. Like if you went to the gym every day but only lifted the 1 pound weight, where are you going to be in a year? All you could use is the 1 pound weight for a year. Yeah, you know, that's not going to go as well as you're going to go to the gym and you're going to have all the weights that you want to use and you're going to have a personal trainer. That's what hard food is. Hard food is I got all the right weights and the personal trainer backing up is the breastfeeding. Because with breastfeeding, that's how the tongue is trained properly for that hard chewing swallow. So breastfeeding is really compression and then it's a vacuum swallow. So compression, vacuum, basically breastfeeding, even though it's drinking the milk, that technique is a more of a learning a chewing swallow and giving that tongue strength so that it's ready for the harder foods at that 6 to 9 month mark. It's like going from the personal trainer to the gym and having another trainer getting the hard food going. Basically, all of that early pathway gets those jaws growing really well. And that's why you don't find, like the anthropology research, when they dig up and they see the skulls and the sites and all that, they don't find crowded teeth back then. So you go back a few generations, you don't have the crowded teeth and bad bites. And that's how, you know, humans kind of grow beautifully with the everything being natural. But then, of course, we switch over to this pureed early food. And sure enough, weak muscles, smaller jaws, crowded teeth, bad bites. And we end up with a whole need for all these things downstream. But meanwhile, we're only treating the symptoms downstream. We're not even really treating the cause.
Well, you know, I think everybody's watching and listening is like, they're like, their job is really literally dropping right now. I was like, oh my God, I did this to my kids or my parents did this to me, because really, you know, and maybe it's not really that, because to your point, if it's the industry, you know, or the industrialization of the food, you know, has changed it, because the way you eat now is different. To your point, I mean, beef jerky is just the old way of, you know, drying the meats, and that's what people ate, you know. And to your point, hardened food that is from the ground, I mean, it's fresh, and I mean, you got fresh carrots and the real baby carrots, not the baby fake carrots that they sell today. I mean, they call them baby carrots, but they're not, you know what I mean? But, you know, stuff like that. So it's a different, you know, difference in I guess, the way we live, you know, and it's changed it. I mean, it's good for business, let's be honest. I mean, obviously, it created a whole industry, and for the dentistry, it's pretty good. I mean, it maintains, and there's a whole, I mean, subdivisions of dentistry that actually just work with braces and stuff, and they do good, right? So from that aspect of it, it's great. But you know, from to your point, from the self-esteem, maybe for people, you know, I mean, I can tell you when my kids had the difference, you know, in the look, you know, it wasn't appealing. I mean, people, especially kids, can be brutal. They make fun of you. Things like that. So you're like, as soon as we were able to get them done, we did it, right? So it's very difficult to unnotice these things. I mean, it's in your face. I mean, we smile, we talk to people.
Yeah,
notice these things, and it's very difficult. But doctor, just quickly, you did mention something about, you know, all your teeth are in the right place, including your wisdom teeth, right? Now, how important are wisdom teeth? Just because people are, you know, there's a tendency now to almost promote, let's remove those things. I've been reading studies and articles that actually they just discovered that there's stem cells and a lot of stuff in the wisdom teeth that really is good for us. I mean, is that a myth? Is that a contradiction? And again, I know it's like an interjection, you know, in the discussion here, but let's just talk about that, because you mentioned wisdom teeth and I kind of rephrased that in a minute.
Yeah.
But let's talk about that.
Well, we are built to have 32 teeth. And so they just come at different stages. The wisdom teeth just happen to be the last ones arriving. So if you had a parking garage that had 28 parking spots, but then there were four more cars that showed up after the first 28, they're not fitting in. They're going to be outside on the sidewalk. Well, that's the wisdom teeth. The wisdom teeth are just getting there late. You're 12 years old, you got all your 28 teeth, and those are in your small jaws, but they're crowded. Now you're going to make the braces, make them straight, but there is no room for those teeth. So when you turn 18 or 16, 18, they look at the x-ray and say, oh, those can't fit. And they're so bad, they'll probably cause you trouble. You got to get those out. So today we're so far into that soft food early, the smaller jaws, that most kids get their wisdom teeth out. It could be 70, 80, 90%, depending upon where you go, that they're going to be taken out. Again, 28 teeth fit with crowding. 32, no way. Very rare. Like we were talking about a unicorn. Like if you found a child that had 32 teeth today, really.
Want to make a difference in your community, but not sure how? go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously, your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
The unicorn, but there are kids who can't even fit to 28, and then they take some out and go less than 28. Some kids get teeth taken out when they're 12, and they might only have 24 or 26, and then the wisdom teeth are going to be taken out later on. So we're supposed to have them. So I look at the wisdom teeth as a body part. So they're a body part, but it just happens to be the last ones getting there, but I still want them. So I would like to prepare knowing they're coming, because it's kind of like the parking garage analogy I was telling you. If there are 32 cars coming, why am I going to build a garage for 28? So, you know, you don't build a garage for 28 when you know 32 are coming. So how about we get involved early, help the jaws grow earlier to get the right size so that all of the teeth can fit. And like you mentioned, being stem cells, because it's a body part, it can't be good. I'm using just my own little common sense. It can't be good to take something away that you're meant to have just because it didn't fit. And so I'm not a fan of taking body parts away from people. I'm a fan of getting the right size at the right time so you can have them later on. Just because they're coming later doesn't mean we don't want them. And I do believe you need them. I think you're supposed to have all of your teeth so that the entire system is the right shape, the right size, has all the parts. It's kind of like if you took just a few parts off the car, maybe it's going to be okay for a while, but at some point something's going to go sideways. You know, you don't want to have five. If your truck's supposed to have six lug nuts and you're driving around five, there's going to be a problem one day. So all of this to say, I think we're supposed to have all the parts, and it might not be an immediate concern, but over the lifetime, I think if you're looking for optimal health, you do want to be natural as well, as good as you can be, and also try to have the right, growth early so you can have those teeth come in. I prefer to keep them. We try not to extract those now.
Well, thank you, Doc, for really breaking it down, because I think that, folks, if you're watching and listening, I think we get this, right? The idea is that we want to have everything. We don't want to discard anything that we are meant to have. And certainly, obviously, if we have a reason to do so because you can't fit them, that's a different story. But certainly, if we do it right in the first place, and I think what we're going to talk in the latter part of this discussion is probably a good innovation that's going to help, you know, our children in the future to actually not have this problem and hopefully have the full set of teeth. Because I think my next question is, you know, how important is a full set of teeth to our overall health? Because really that's the drive behind your creation innovation. Because really we eat with them. I mean, we talked about food, but what does that do to us? I mean, the type of input that it gives to the health, right? There's just a lot of stuff. I mean, and there's more benefits to this, and we're going to talk about it in a second in terms of like what you're trying to achieve with your innovation. So let's talk just about the importance of health, you know, the importance of a good jaw and a good set of teeth into the health process, digestive system and everything.
Yeah, everything. So you're right. It is connected to every system in the body. So basically when we're talking about the jaws, we've got this upper and lower jaw, and the way those jaws grow determines how well we're going to breathe. And so that is like our number one need. So even though chewing the food is starting the digestive process, basically the human being has these three different fuels that we run on. You know, number one is going to be breathing, air. So we need air the most. The second item we need is the liquid, water. We'll say water. And then the third item is the food that we eat, the nutrition. So one, two, three, there's our fuels, right? We get the fuel in and everything runs nicely. And then we know how it works with food. Like if you think about food and you would say to most people, say, look, if you had this very healthy diet versus just junk food, candy, and fast food, what do you think is going to go on over time, right? You can live on health food only, or you can live on junk food and fast food and soda, right? If you live on these two categories, what do you think it goes forward? They're going to say, most people understand now, okay, the junk food category, the candy, the sugar, the soda, if that's what you're eating three meals a day, you're going to be unhealthy. Like that's going to go to unhealthy, right? That's the wrong fuel going in the body. Now you can do it with water too. We did it with food. Let's go to water. Drinking water. Okay, one human is allowed to drink water going forward, but the other one's only going to drink like the high sugar soda. The only thing you could drink is soda forever. We know that's going to go badly. The high sugar soda is not so good for us. That's another fuel, but you have a right and a wrong one that can help you. One could be healthy, one could be unhealthy. Well, breathing. When it comes to breathing, we're breathing the air in, but is it coming through the nose or is it coming through the mouth? That's where the air gets adjusted, healthy versus unhealthy. So when our jaws are fully grown, it's easy to breathe through the nose. Because like from the side view, the air goes up into the nose, it turns around and it goes behind the tongue and goes down into the lung. Well, if your jaws are fully grown, there's a lot of room to breathe through your nose in. But when the jaws are not grown well, it's harder to breathe through the nose because there's less space in there. And when your brain knows, hey, if you're going to struggle to breathe through your nose, I'll open your mouth. That's a safety valve for breathing. So now your brain opens your mouth to let the air in because you can't breathe well through your nose. Mouth breathing is the bad fuel. The nose was built to clean and prepare that air to get to your lung. So the nose does like 20-something functions to the air before it gets in the lung. And basically, when you bring in the air from your nose, it's perfectly prepared so your lung can do the right thing. And the lung's just an exchanger. It brings the good stuff in, it gets the bad stuff out. We breathe in, the good comes in, we breathe out, the bad goes out. Bring the good in, get the bad out. And it's different depending upon how the air came. So healthy, natural nose breathing. But when we can't breathe through our nose, we start breathing through our mouth. We don't get the best of the good stuff in. We get some good in and we don't get the worst out. We get some of the worst out. So now the exchange is different. Basically, we're not getting the good quality fuel in from that nose breathing. We're getting it from the mouth. We get less of the good in, but now breathing out through the mouth, we get less of the bad out. We're holding on to bad stuff and we're not getting enough good in. It's how you alter the fuel. So I tell the parents, when it comes to fuel, we think about Ferrari, the race car. Everybody knows the Ferrari, but a Ferrari on a racetrack has to be at peak performance. It's got to be the best to win. It has a special gasoline. You got to put high performance, high octane gasoline in a Ferrari to race on the track. That would be nose breathing because your child is a Ferrari. But now if you have your child breathing through their mouth, that's like taking watered down, low grade gasoline, put it in the Ferrari and then expect it to go and have peak performance. It's going to get on the track and move around, but it will not win a race and it will break down. That's bad fuel in that car. Going to ruin the engine. That's mouth breathing for a child. There's the difference between, you know, breathing through the mouth and nose, and it has to do with the jaw growth. The jaws don't grow as much when we see crowded teeth. Really what we end up having is mouth breathing or worse. And then the child is unhealthy from this. Yeah.
Doctor, I'm listening to you. I'm smiling because I think you just gave us the best description about, you know, our intake for air, food, and water. And frankly, I mean, the analogy is just as easy as it can be grasped by anyone. I mean, frankly, it's listening to you, it makes it so obvious that, you know, we need to take care of these three things. And frankly, you're right. I mean, drinking the wrong stuff is bad for you. Eating the wrong way is bad for you. And certainly breathing the wrong way is bad for you. So, but you know, like a lot of us do not put one on one together. We don't see the heat or the shape of a tooth or not a tooth, but the mouth is going to have all these ramifications or negative ramifications rather for the health, you know? And right. So most of us, you know, like, well, it's just the teeth and we got to fix them. But when some people actually, they might not even have the means to, you know, I'm pretty sure some parts of the world, you know, they have difficulty with access to healthcare to even fix these problems. And therefore they suffer more because they have these outcomes that are not ideal. Right. So now let's talk about this. You obviously, dentistry is not just a job. It's a purpose for you. And you've meant it. You've made it a mission to help families be better, enjoy their loved ones better. And you kind of took a journey to develop something. And let's talk about it. And that is what is known to be Tooth Pillow. So, what is the Tooth Pillow story? I mean, it sounds like a tooth fairy story.
Yeah, it's close.
We talked about unicorns, right? Might as well tooth fairy.
That's right. Yeah, so it started about 20 years ago, maybe a little over now. And when I started to treat kids earlier, we were treating them in the office. And so they'd come in, we recognized between 3 and 11, we could start treating earlier, basically knowing that it's the muscles. When the muscles aren't right, the jaws don't grow. So we got to get our muscles back. So to get when I say muscles of the jaw, primarily the tongue. So when the tongue has proper resting position, proper function, you know, then we get better jaw growth. And the lips and cheeks are also involved. So basically all the muscles in the jaw, when they're resting and functioning properly, we get better jaw growth. So if we could get the muscles back on our side, it'll help us grow the jaws. So the way to do that is in our office, we would evaluate these kids and then we would do three things. And one of those things would be nasal hygiene with natural sprays, just to help them get their nose clean and clear to promote better nose breathing. But the second item, very important for the tooth pillow, is basically what tooth pillow is a kind of a company, a new company, but it's using techniques that have been around for decades. And the second item that tooth pillow is made of is what are called appliances that you would think of a football mouth guard if you saw one. Like if you saw one in your hand, you'd say, hey, that looks like a little sports guard. Our kid could put that in and run around on a football field or play hockey or something. Well, the way they're designed is when the kid wears it, what happens is the tongue and the lips and the cheeks are guided to be in proper resting position and function correctly. So what that appliance does is it gets your muscles balanced again to promote better growth of the jaws. And we ask the kids to wear them for 1 to 2 hours per day, plus to bed. So those are the appliances that are used. The third item is what's called myofunctional therapy. And so long words for a simple concept, myofunctional therapy is basically muscle therapy in the head and neck. Because knowing that these muscles are not performing properly, if we could just have the right trainer for those muscles, and that's what a myofunctional therapist is, basically the right trainer to get all of the muscles of the head and neck involved correctly so that you could grow the jaws. So nose hygiene and nasal hygiene sprays, basically the appliances that we use, and the myofunctional therapy can be done via Zoom. So what started out in an office setting, kids coming and treating, then they would go home and they do it at home. We would just be setting them up with what they need. Then they go home and do it at home. Well, it evolved over time that I started to teach other offices how to do it. Then other offices that were doing this for a while, we got together and a few of us decided to talk about, hey, you know, not many of us do this. Very few dentists do growth and development early because the traditional model is when you're 11 or 12, get the braces, right? That's what everybody knows. There's so few of us doing this. Access is a problem now because if a parent were to learn about it, how are they going to find someone? And maybe they have to now fly states away to go find someone to do this. That's not nice. Then the other one was affordability. And you touched on this, that there are underserved communities where, you know, braces are very expensive and not everybody can afford to do all this. Could we solve for access and affordability? Meaning provide this level of care remotely. So basically, Tooth Pillow is a way to deliver the three things that we're doing in our office, but in a remote model and connected to an app. We can have constant interaction with the parent to guide the treatment. So we could assess a child by the parent filling out forms. Basically, like when you get to a dental office, you fill out forms. You tell us about your history. What about your teeth? What about your medical? You fill out forms. We learn about you. Then in a dental office, you take a lot of photos. You take some photos. You take measurements. Well, today the phones, the cameras are so good that in the phone, the parent can take photos and send them to us. I can evaluate that child by the forms, the information. I know their age. And then I look at their teeth and their bite from the pictures. And I know, ooh, we could help that child remotely. I can send that child what they need. Then with proprietary measuring cards, we could measure. They take pictures and send them. We know now the sizes. So we could send what they need. Then, of course, at intervals, the parent is guided along the way to say, okay, do the nasal hygiene. Now do wear your guide. Then do the myofunctional therapy. We're going to set you up in Zoom. You connect just like we're talking here. The myofunctional therapist can be in Zoom, and it would be an opportunity to have a child be treated remotely. So now they have access to this care without having to find someone who might be hours or states away. So now we can treat you remotely. Then affordability, it's a fraction of the cost to do this remotely, removing the dental practice. In other words, there is no brick and mortar that the child has to come see. That eliminates a lot of expense. So to do Tooth Pillow for a child remotely costs somewhere between like 1/3 to 1/2 of what it costs to go to an office. So when you go in an office and you have a fee, 1/3 to 1/2 of that is what you could do it remotely for. Now, while this is all good, solving for access and having something more affordable to get growth and development back, get your muscles back, get your breathing back, you know, improve the health of the child earlier, and then all your teeth fit in better. That's all good and fine, but it's not for 100% of the kids to do it remotely. I can't just say everybody's a candidate and do it remotely at all. Basically, over the 20 years in my office, I knew there's a percentage of kids I could treat this way, but then there's a percentage that needed more. They were more severe. They might need expanders, and that metal expanders have to be fitted, and you have to do that in the office. You can't do that remotely. So it is about 25 to 30% of kids can't do this remotely. But look, to have 70 to 75% able to do something remote like this when there isn't a lot of this around the local community, because you know, we all know dentistry is tooth-focused and orthodontics is tooth-focused. So braces are the traditional model. This is not, let's say, pervasive, where everybody has an opportunity to go to their local dentist and say, oh, I want to treat my child at 4 years old. They're going to be like, what do you mean? They don't even know, most of them. But meanwhile, this is solving for access and affordability. So in our world, we know about 70 to 75% of the kids could qualify for Tooth Pillow and have earlier treatment, all addressing the cause. Let's get your muscles back, to get your jaw growth back. And we fix the teeth when you're 12. Like, that's when you want to address the teeth, when you're 12. But the good news is doing the early treatment does make your teeth get better. So you would see the teeth improving, because as the jaws grow, the teeth go better to place. So we basically built this from scratch in a way with an app that we could connect with parents to offer treatment where they don't necessarily have people near them doing it.
Well, doctor, I think you suffer a lot. I mean, you know, you're creating an opportunity here where children can eventually avoid massive work, because technically, if you don't do this in advance, I mean, you're going to have to do with the more extensive braces and, you know, whatever, all these new functionality. I mean, there's a lot of versions now. I mean, there's the traditional braces, but you have the Invisalign kind of concepts and all these things. There's all that stuff, but it takes time, years, and to your point, a high cost. But if you do it correctly upfront, you know, it's something that is fairly new. It's innovative. It's kind of like, you know, I mean, it's just a cutting edge, I would say, you know, because I don't think it's worldwide recognized, or maybe it's not even available, to your point, everywhere. I mean, it's only, I mean, I'm not sure how far or how many doctors are participating, to your point. You know, access is going to be, there's the access of location, but there's also access of just availability. I mean, if there's only, you know, a few of you doing this, it's like ozone therapy, right? You know, for the teeth. I mean, there's not a lot of dentists that do bio dentistry. I mean, it's still kind of frowned upon, you know, in a lot of circles. So it's kind of, I'm getting that. Am I getting that story right? I mean, is that the picture?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. That biological dentist is the one doing it as naturally as possible. And right now, you know, that may be the, let's say, smaller percentage of dentists, but it's been growing nicely because that's really good, appropriate care. There's great stuff happening there. So that group is growing beautifully. And look, the most natural way to do it is a good idea. The treating the cause is always better than treating the symptom. Like, all of this makes very good sense. So it for me, it worked really well because I could see that there's a need. And then I recognize that I would prefer to treat the cause versus the symptoms. You know, it's very unrewarding to use braces when you're 12, wear them for 3 or 4 years, and then don't wear the retainer and they shift back. Like, braces make your teeth straight temporarily. That doesn't seem like a rewarding process to do. And then, of course, the investment, the time and the money involved with it, I think we better refocus and do something a little earlier. So the whole idea is to shift the dynamic. Instead of waiting until you're 12 years old and getting started.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously, your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
How about if we do everything early so you don't need anything when you're 12? Like, that would be better. And It's impossible for every kid to avoid braces, but when the child participates well and the parents are good with the compliance, because, you know, this is compliance driven, you have to go home and do the work and wear it appropriately and all these things. But when you do a nice job of it, you can reduce your braces exposure to a small window. And so in my own practice for over 2 decades, the kids who do these tooth pillow appliances really well, basically they end up with no braces, or they'll have braces for maybe 6 or 8 months just to get the teeth perfect. Because a lot of parents want perfectly straight teeth, not just close. So when you have zero braces or 8 months, and like you mentioned, Invisalign, you can use clear aligners too. Like aligners are okay when you're 13. Those work really well. So you have choices later. But again, when you have the right jaw size and then you make the teeth straight in a few months' time, that's more stable. Like, that's a better product, because now you have something where I got the right garage and now I got all my cars in there too. So we expect to have good jaw growth early on. We want to have a better opportunity to have the wisdom teeth fit in too. So it is a big picture of whole health, where you want the fully grown human being to not only have all the teeth, which again, more teeth, better chewing, better digestion, all that fits in, but better breathing. And the child who can breathe through their nose will sleep better and have less symptoms going on, whereas the mouth breathing child at night is going to have worse sleep. And when it affects the quality of sleep, that child is going to have symptoms downstream from having poor quality sleeping. So we don't want to have small jaws forever and just be forcing the teeth straight, because then we may never get to be the best breather. And if we're not the best breather, one day we're probably going to be 40 or 50 years old and be told, oh, you got obstructive sleep apnea. And now we have to wear a CPAP machine because the breathing became snoring, and then the snoring became gasping for air, and then you're choking and you're waking up and someone says, you better go get a sleep study. You're terrible breathing. And next thing you know, you got a CPAP machine strapped to your face. But meanwhile, you need it because, yeah, the breathing is bad. And part of it is the jaw development. So we're really trying to get in earlier, because earlier prevents a lot of things downstream. Otherwise, we're just kind of creeping towards being worse or unhealthy as time goes by.
Well, doctor, thank you. I mean, you touched on a couple of things. Well, one is again, early is a great thing, but how early is one? Because I think culturally, we don't think about children going to a dentist, you know, way early. You know, we think about it when they start having cavities, maybe, and or when we start noticing that there is a very good fluctuation in the look and the shape of the mouth. So like, what is the real time frame where someone has to be able to, and even for you guys, I mean, because the teeth are still growing, the mouth's still growing, will that be a good indicator even early to see, like, hey, this Joe is definitely going to have a problem? I mean, I'm you already have 2 decades of expertise in this, you already know what the signs are, but really, to the parents listening and watching right now, what is the best recommendation to get these folks, you know, as soon as possible, even if they don't have any doubt that, you know, there's a problem, or they don't even think that there's going to be a problem, but just as a precautionary or preventative measure,
right?
What would be that time frame that they should go? I mean, is it, you know, as early as 4, or is that 3? I mean, and you know, and is that just a regular visit for you guys to see and then determine, you know, the best course? Because this is definitely, and to your point, I love what you said. Not only went for the 12 and the second decade of age, you're talking about 40 years later, you know, when there is a real problem with snoring and sleep apnea and things like that, which is a very, you know, unhealthy, you know, process. Because the other thing, doctor, is you're talking about sleeping and breathing, sleeping. Like, that's not even a connection that most of us would put together between teeth and sleep. I mean, it's just not something that we will see in the same picture, unless somebody's watching and listening right now. It's like, I'm sure some people's like, their eyes are just like, you know, opening up big. I'm like, what? So let's talk about that. What is your recommendation in terms of time frame where they can really, like, you encourage people, hey, come on and visit your dentist. Let's see. And of course, you know, not every dentist does this. So that's the other part. Like, how do we get the message to as many people to get to you and to your team, the ones that are using the system?
Oh, yeah. So with the tooth pillow model being remote, we're capable of treating a 3-year-old and up. So 3 to 12 is our window we can help. So we believe you should be assessed at age 3, and that's at the latest. And I'll get into that in a second. But with tooth pillow being remote, a parent can go online, go to toothpillow.com. They can fill in the questionnaire and they can submit some photographs, and we can give them an assessment. And we can basically, from the questionnaire, we're asking the questions, because then they start thinking about those questions. What we're asking is about sleeping and breathing. What do they see? And then we can see the teeth from the pictures, which we'll get to in a second. And I would know right away if I have the symptoms from the questions and I have the teeth in a position that's not going to be good later, because the baby teeth do predict the permanent ones. So if I see this combination, then I know, oh, your child would benefit from early treatment. They're a candidate to get treated early. If you have someone near you, terrific. If you don't, tooth pillow is a good choice. So 3 to 11 is a good window, 3 being the earliest. But it doesn't mean you have to wait till 3 to get started, because what if you have a 1 or 2-year-old where you notice they're mouth breathing already? Because if you notice your 1 or 2-year-old is already mouth breathing during the day or at night, we know that's heading to be worse over time. I would say the best place to go would be visit a myofunctional therapist. And you can just go to Google and look up myofunctional therapist near me, or myofunctional therapist in my zip code. And when you find a local myofunctional therapist, that's where you go to have your child evaluated. And yes, there are things that can be done between 0 and 3. We don't have that yet, but we're working on that. We're working on that 0 to 3 category where we can help those too. But that's a good thing to visit, is a myofunctional therapist, because they're very skilled at determining, is the musculature correct or not? So when they work with the musculature, they're first determining, okay, if the muscles aren't resting and functioning properly, and we have the mouth breathing going on, we already know this is going to get worse over time. They can intervene. They have techniques they can do to intervene. At age 3, the tooth pillow product can kick right in. We can help you at age 3 on up. Some of the things that parents should be thinking about, because like, how do I know to get my kid evaluated, right? The baby teeth are a telltale sign. So when you're a parent, you're looking at the teeth and you're going, well, I don't know if they're right or not. Maybe they look nice. They're straight, you know. A lot of baby teeth are straight. The biggest issue with the baby teeth is there's no space between them. So when the jaws are growing beautifully and you're younger, like that 3-year-old, when your jaws are growing correctly, there's supposed to be a big gap between every baby tooth. And when I say big gap, the math for that space is the width of a nickel. So the nickel is a thick coin. So I'm talking about the coins. We got a dime, a quarter, a nickel. The nickel, the thickness of a nickel is what should fit between the baby teeth. That's when you know, hey, the jaws are growing pretty well, if there's a gap that looks like a nickel would fit. Now, word of caution, parents out there, do not take a nickel and try to fit it in your kid's teeth. We don't put nickel in the teeth, because that's going to be like a parking meter. It's going to go right in the lungs. So we don't want no coins in the mouth, no coins in the mouth. You can look at a nickel and then look at your kid, because if you see the baby teeth together, that's a predictor for the permanent teeth will be crowded. So when the baby teeth are spread out and you can fit a nickel between those teeth, like when you have gaps, the permanent teeth are going to come in better. So we look at the teeth right away. We know, oh boy, most kids at 3 to 5 years old, their baby teeth are together. There's very little room between them. So we know that's trouble. Other things we can observe, like mouth breathing. If your child has their mouth open during the day or at night, it's because the jaws are smaller and they're not able to breathe through their nose. Then there's other symptoms like grinding the teeth. If your child is grinding their teeth, that's a direct symptom to poor breathing. And poor breathing creates the grinding of the teeth. It's a way your body is trying to actually make more room for the air to get in there. So if your child is grinding their teeth, that's a good reason to ask and look for treatment and help. Then there's sleeping credentials, because really you should go to sleep and sleep really well the whole night. But a child who's waking up with nightmares or night terrors, usually that's poor breathing leading to that. If your child is like restless sleep, thrashing around the bed, restless sleep, usually it's poor breathing that's doing that. And then there's sweating. If you're sweating at night, that's usually poor breathing behind that. And the other one is bedwetting. If we're bedwetting, now these are all symptoms that go on at nighttime, but most of those tie back to how are we breathing? And if we're breathing through the mouth or breathing poorly, the body reacts to that. And it does enter fight or flight. And that's why these things are happening that are, let's say, negative, meaning nightmares, thrashing around the bed, bedwetting, sweating all night. Those are reactions your body's having to your bad breathing. And so those are symptoms that most parents would see or recognize. Oh, my child has that. And there's no space between the baby teeth. Oh, my child needs attention now, because you don't outgrow any of that. We're not going to outgrow bad breathing. It's going to be bad breathing now. It's going to be there tomorrow. It's going to be there next week, next year, till they're 12. And then when they're 12, we're only addressing the teeth with the braces. We're not giving them their best breathing. We want the jaws early. So for parents, those are like the top things that you could notice or see that would say, oh, my child might need some attention now. And that's why we built Tooth Pillow, because when you start to look in your community, they may not be someone local to you who does this work in their office. Tooth Pillow is available to help you.
You know, it looks like, I think the recommendation here is everyone, if you're watching and listening, if you know someone that have children, I think it's time for you to just double check and check the Tooth Pillow. And it's not a commercial, folks, but it's a real idea that, you know, hey, what's the loss here, right? We got to do this to make sure we can, because it looks like a whole series of diagnostic, you know, symptoms that you just listed here that are really, I think, common to most of our children. Because I think if I had known this, you know, 20 years ago, I would have known my kids, you know, would have had a problem, you know, initially, and I would have done something about it had I known that there was an opportunity to fix it early. Yeah. Because at the end of the day, it did cost time, money, and headaches, and self-esteem, and, you know, arguments, and bullying, and all this stuff. Even mental health is affected, because when kids are not happy,
absolutely,
it affects everything, the way they present themselves, the way they, you know, just explore, I mean, express themselves in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it's the image. I mean, especially now we live in social media, and kids early on are already out there, and it's a little crazy world. So I think that's a big deal. And, you know, and thank you for breaking it down to the science here, and just the multiple levels of impact that they can have. And I don't think we, at least I can tell you for me, I mean, I couldn't have possibly put all this stuff in the same picture, you know, even if I thought about it, like, you know, from a truth perspective and a mouth perspective, it doesn't add up. Now, so simply, I mean, it is really a remote aspect of things. Everybody pretty much can do it. And by the way, 75% as an odd is pretty good. And I think we can take those odds all the time. And frankly, statistically speaking, that's a very good result outcome. I mean, so it's not it's pretty solid. I mean, you'll take it to the bank. It's helping a lot of people. And of course, as you guys develop more, there's certainly a better way. Now, another question, since this is remote, is it worldwide? Is it only available to the US or Canada, or because now we live in a global village? How do we do this? Everybody.
Good question. So yeah, we're in our third year of delivering this process remotely, and currently it is just in the United States. So we can treat you if you're in the country. If you're out of the country, it's harder to do it. So we don't have the availability for that yet. We are working on that model. So we should be able to treat in Canada and Mexico and Europe and Australia. Like, all of that should come over time. But, you know, it's kind of like building the plane when you're driving it and flying it and all that stuff. So we don't have all the parts together yet. So right now we are in the country treating with 3 to 12 years old. But we're looking to treat 0 to 3 for opportunities at one point, and then we're looking to treat above the 12-year-old range one day, but in other countries as well, because, you know, it really is, kids everywhere could use early treatment and be helped. And so as long as that's the case, we'll keep working towards making sure every kid has access to some level of really good early care.
Now, if you don't mind, I mean, are you in all the states? I mean, like at least there's presence, physical presence, or it's all, you know,
yes, we have all 50 states covered. So the way we built it was that we have a support team, and so we might have about 60 or 70 support team members who help to guide and manage the parents remotely. And then we have a doctor covering every state. So we have all 50 states covered. We have about 75 doctors now that manage all the states, because when you're treating a child remotely, like, even though I practice in New York and I live in Connecticut, I myself have like 16 state licenses in the country. So I could treat a child remotely as long as I have a license in the state they're in. So I can cover so many states, but we have now 70 to 75 doctors with all the states covered by license. So there's a doctor overseeing all of this care who is experienced in using these appliances. And then also with the myofunctional therapy, we have a whole community of myofunctional therapists who have signed on so that they could do the remote sessions. And then they meet with the kids via Zoom to do the work with them and train their musculature how to grow. So yeah, the good question about, is it all the states? Yes, we have all the states covered. So no matter what state you're from, we should be able to help you out.
So physically, I mean, they can connect with each state, you know, and get the local provider, and then connect with the service, get the devices or the tools that they need, you know, to their place, right? I mean, it's, they got to get.
Yeah, well, there is a choice. You know, they have, we have a way to do this remotely where the parent never has to go to an office for a visit. So the camera, the phone cameras are so incredible now. And with the little proprietary cards we built to measure scale and have all the sizing, basically from the submission the parents send me, we can then determine what to send them to use. And then with the cameras again, they take photos and little videos to monitor the treatment. So it's as close to coming to an office as possible. And then we can do it without the parent ever having to go to an office. Now, let's say a parent wants to go to an office. That's totally fine. We're happy to direct you. We have a directory to bring you into an office should you want in-office care. And of course, in-office care has a higher price tag because you have to go in an office that has to sustain profitability to run a building. So you pay more to go in office. But we can locate someone in just about every state. Some of the states are really big. You might travel 6 or 8 hours to find that person. Some states are smaller. It could be an hour or two away. We're trying to get to the point where we have someone within an hour of everybody. Because then, if you want to go in the office, that's great. Get early treatment. But since not everybody does this, it might be that, ooh, there's nobody near me. Then am I going to travel this far to do this over the years, or am I going to do it remotely? So solving the access is nice. The good news is that we can do it fully remote for about 75% of the kids. It's the 25% who we can't do it remote because they're more severe. They need more things. They have to come in an office. Then we try to locate who's the closest office to you that does this nice work. And then we try to get you in for early treatment because we know waiting till 12 is bad. When you see the 5-year-old or 6-year-old who is really bad and severe, waiting till 12, it's only going to get worse. So we try to find that parent in office they can go to who will help them at that age instead of tell them, oh, wait till they're older. Wait till all the teeth are there at 12 because we know that's not going to be good.
Well, thank you, Doc. So essentially, I mean, there's already an existing network that is perfectly set up. I mean, decent amount of distance for someone, but is this an opportunity also for like dentists maybe to join, this band? Is there a trendy thing where dentists can also opt into the system, or what is?
We try to teach people all the time. So years ago, before ever, being part of Tooth Pillow to help kids remotely, about 10 years ago, I started to teach other offices how to do this. So, there is always learning going on. And then there would be dental offices that would decide to do something new. You go take education. So you could take education. Let's say you want to learn and do implants. You go learn about implants. You do implants now, right? Well, this is growth and development. So early treatment is, I'm interested. I want to learn. I want to bring it to my community. I go learn about it. So I started teaching other offices. So as we teach more offices, that's still going on. So at Tooth Pillow, we also have a group of doctors that offer education. So we teach other offices as well. So yeah, that's like a different track where we're still looking to train other offices who want to learn how to do this in their office. And then they can do it in their office, or they can even refer the kids to Tooth Pillow. Like either way, it can work, but more kids have access. And then, of course, as doctors do this more in their office, they start to get interested in, okay, well, I can do it in my office. Maybe I can help out with Tooth Pillow and I can be a doctor who actually oversees some of the state treatment, right? Because we're always looking for more people to help out with that. As more kids are treated, you need more doctors, supervising it. So we do constantly bring in new people to oversee based on the states they're in. And some states, there are a lot more popular where Tooth Pillow is, let's say, more popular in a state. We have multiple doctors covering that state because one wouldn't be enough. So yeah, we're open to growing in every direction possible because it always ends up with more kids getting earlier treatment and having better outcomes than waiting till later.
Thank you. That's a great opportunity. So if someone is listening as a provider, as a dentist, maybe this is an opportunity to add something else to your menu and hopefully help, give access closer to your communities. Now, time frame, someone starts, you said like from 3 on to 12. I mean, is there a limitation of how many sessions or how long they will be on this type of protocol? Or basically it is because braces, for example, as you said, 8 months, minimum, and then you go 2 years, 3 years, depends on how bad. And you have the ongoing, dentures, well, not dentures, whatever the braces that they use, like the night stuff, whatever, they have these fixed stuff. Because it's never ending when you have braces. They always have these little things that they have to put at night. I mean, listen, my kids have them.
The retainers,
that's the word. So they have the retainers. I mean, my daughter has also some, stuff already in her teeth, that's not going anywhere. It's a long term. So how is that, with the Tooth Pillow principle, is it a certain period of time and it stops, or it is continuous until they get a full set of nice?
Right. Yeah. Since growth is continuous between 3 and 12, treatment kind of needs to be, but it doesn't mean we treat the child from 3 through 12 or 4 to 12 or 5 to 12. Tooth Pillow is a 2-year process. Because what we do in a 2-year process, when we have the 3 things going really well, the nasal hygiene, wearing the appliances 1 to 2 hours a day plus overnight, and doing the myofunctional therapy, in 2 years' time, we should have a child that has their jaws growing better and converts back to nasal breathing. So the goal really is wherever the child is starting, in 24 months, we want to be nose breathing, not mouth breathing, and we want all of the muscles to be functioning and resting properly. So the transition over 2 years should happen so that now when you have nose breathing and your muscles are right, you keep growing normally on your own. You reset to grow better now. What we do is you're buying a tooth pillow package to do this work in 24 months. We set up a very small continuation fee if you would like to, because you can check in every 6 months to see how you're doing, and we can always send you a new appliance if you need it. So we're happy to continue monitoring going forward. We put very small fees in there to keep track of the child's growing, because we'd love to monitor them all the way to 12, but financially and physically, it's impossible to do every child for that long a time. We do 24 months. So basically, a parent would be purchasing 24 months of care and treatment. And then after that, if they choose to be monitored going forward, we have a little bit of a fee going on to keep that going. Yeah.
Well, thank you. So, and I'm assuming insurance does not really apply here. So this is kind of cosmetic, right? So,
well, we're trying, we're working on that, because technically what we're doing with growth and development is in the orthodontic category. And okay. So if a parent has orthodontic insurance, we're working that through to make sure that we're able to help them get the insurance, because excellent. We would like them to have the benefit of the coverage, but I don't know if we have that all set in every state yet. We'd probably have to answer that question individually on which state are you from and do we have insurance set up for that state yet. But we would like to get there one day where we have that in place.
So it is ortho, not medical. So
kind right, of, not medical, right.
I mean, because when you say growth, I mean, to me, that sounds a little medical too. I mean, maybe in...
Oh, yeah. We would love for that to happen. If the medical insurance would cover this, then every kid could have it. You know, that'd be much better. But it's not set up that way. Our system kind of took the mouth away from the body to make dentistry. So we have medicine is the whole body except the mouth. And then there's dentistry is the mouth. And so we have dental insurance for that. And we have medical insurance for the head to toe except for your mouth. So it's... A little bit silly.
The reason I'm saying that, because I mean, I'm in the insurance space, and it sounds like, I mean, when you're talking about sleep apnea, you're talking about mouth breathing. I mean, those are all medical conditions, which, you know, but as you said, it's funny you said a key word earlier that you said, we treat the symptoms and not the cause, the root cause. Right. And I think that's the general rule now for everything. I mean, everything now is about you have symptoms, let's mask them, let's fix them, let's get you out of the pain, whatever. But no one's going back, like, what is causing this? Inflammation is one of the biggest ones. And this is exactly the same concept. So it's kind of sad to hear it, you know, as a just a resonating word over and over. It's like a frequency that never goes away. Yes. You just hear that. It's like it's the same thing repeating itself across, you know, the healthcare system in general. But it's amazing, you know, that it affects, as you said, I love that, taking the mouth out of the body, and it's separate, because again, this is what you're describing. It's really a medical condition more than anything else, but it is in the realm of teeth. And so I guess that's dentistry, but I mean, I just, you know, I'm throwing this for people that are watching or listening. And also I think, you know, this could be something covered under government programs as well. I mean, I think for people who have the CHIP programs or the Medicaid, you know, around the states.
Yeah, one day that's the goal. The goal is that this would be a covered thing where parents could have early treatment, because when you do the treatment early and you treat the cause, it takes away the future symptom treatment. Like, it is better to address the problem early instead of be paying for the symptoms forever. So I like to say, you could treat the cause early or you will treat the symptoms forever. And like you had brought up with between the medical and like obstructive sleep apnea, having sleep apnea, medical insurance does pay for a lot of those treatments. When you get to be an adult and you now have apnea, so now you're the worst breathing possible. It affects your whole body, your health so bad. Now it's considered medical. So we wait until sleep apnea to make it medical so we can pay the highest money to get sleep apnea treated, when we could do this earlier for the lowest money and not have sleep apnea later. Like, that's... It's a lot of transition that has to go on to change the dynamic, because, well, like you said, we're treating the symptoms mostly downstream.
Well, if it were up to me, I love preventative medicine in general. I mean, it's the key to go. You don't want to wait until things, like they say, make time now for your health versus, you know, make time for your sickness. Same thing here. Yeah. Treat it now as early and prevent it from, you know, getting worse, because the cost is going to be much worse. Actually, it's a concept we use when we build our benefits in design. You know, like there, for example, something I've always shared is that we've added, for example, gym, you know, into the programs, because, you know, the more, the healthier people are, the better they can be, and therefore they can have less ailments and problems,
yeah,
illnesses and heart problems and so on and so forth. So you prevent a lot of problems. I mean, some insurance in the commercial space, they do that for people who don't smoke. They give them better rates and better access and stuff.
Right.
This is nothing different, but I don't think we put in one-on-one together in the picture and seeing that this is a cause of a bigger problem later. Because I think once they do, it's going to be game on. I mean, I think that's where it's going to be with your work, and you know, hopefully, you know, more of these shows out there to share this message. I think we can make a difference slowly but surely. And again, everything, to your point, healthcare is very complicated. But I do see also a value in you guys expanding worldwide, because to your point, if it is remotely, for the most part, it can be done. Also, I think the logistics is more about the healthcare, the licensing, you know, the
right.
Department of Health, and all these regulations around the world are different. So it can be very tricky because every country has its own way of looking at dentistry. Listen, I have my best friend. My best friend is a dentist, you know, and he's a surgeon, and he does all the ortho and the implants and all the stuff. But he's overseas, and they go all over the world also, you know, to teach and do other things. And frankly, it's just different the way they do it there, and the rules are different, you know, too. So it's a unique world that you live in, but it is an interesting one, and it is definitely affecting our health. Because there's another point, doctor, is we you alluded to it briefly. We said your mouth is open. Your mouth is open, there's bacteria that goes in, there's all kind of stuff. Now you have other problems that can be, you know, underlining there, and, you know, literally can be damaging too. So we don't even think about that, but really, if your mouth is always your mouth breather, there's I mean, listen, I'm not gonna give a funny picture, but things can go in there. I mean, I'm not talking just bacteria, even crawling stuff can get in the mouth, right? You know, but certainly the bacteria is the easiest thing that can happen, and that certainly can have problems in the digestive system, the guts, I mean, the bloodstream, you name it. I mean, so there's more to it. So your solution is really solutions for the future. Now, I do have a technical question. I mean, like any other innovation, it kind of rubs the industry the wrong way. because when you come up with something like, you know, you just kind of dismantle the dynamics, right? Almost like, you know, you shake that tree, because now, like, hey, what's up? You're causing competition to maybe, like, you're talking about braces going for 5 years to 8 months. That may take away some flavor from some practices, right? So how do you deal with that? I mean, as just an innovator in this field.
Yes, and it's accurate. It's totally accurate. And so, you know, one of the examples that you even mentioned before with Invisalign, like a clear aligner, 25 years ago, there was none. Now they came on the market and, you know, there was a big crowd, didn't like them at all, because we don't do this that way. We do braces, you know. Sure enough, that's a disruptor. But now, you know, 25, 30 million people have used aligners. They're very good. They're effective. They work great. And so it's a new way to do it. You know, one day, there was the horse and buggy maker didn't like the car maker, you know? Hey, I'm building these beautiful horse and buggy things here, and I got these straps you hit the horse with, and now I don't need a bullwhip anymore. Who's going to buy my bullwhip? Are we going to drive a car? So the automaker disrupted the horse and buggy industry. I get it. There's a change, and I believe that change is appropriate, because if we treat the child earlier, it's a healthier future. So This isn't so much, you know, a money issue. It's more about which might be the healthier pathway for a child. So what I'm hoping to do isn't maybe reduce a different model or reduce a different business. I'm hoping to win them over so they'll do this too, because everybody can do this and it can be a profitable business for you. You can earn a living doing this. It's just a little different than your technique. Look, if the horse and buggy guy wants to keep making horse and buggies, but nobody's buying it, then that person's not making a good choice when you could go build the cars and people are buying those. So, like, you got to adapt. And I think there comes a time where, you know, innovation and technology puts the next step. And, you know, if you don't want to use the computers, you're going to do everything on paper and handwrite and send letters instead of make an email. Your business is going to run a little different. Maybe you want to do some emailing and texting, get up to speed. You know, I just think innovation and technology brings the next level, but everybody can use it. It's not, I'm not excluding anybody. Nobody's excluded from doing things earlier. Join the club. We're happy to have more people.
Well, thank you, Doc. That's an open mind, and that's spoken as a great innovator with a vision. Well, so here's the thing. AI is in the mix. AI is the future. It's here. It's not going anywhere. I'm assuming you already are integrating AI to your practice and to your work, and because that can make a whole difference, even in the analysis and things like that. I mean, that thing can do wonders, you know, on its own once it's, I guess, program well, given all the instructions and knowledge and the skills. I mean, he can do half of the stuff that's being done now in record time. So that's all already there. Now, I'm assuming that's the yes. AI is in the forecast.
Currently not using it. However, that's something that can be leveraged at higher volume. In other words, when we start to exceed volumes that humans can't do, we're going to have to leverage AI to be able to treat the volumes of kids that are out there. So yeah, AI has a place in every business, and it has good and it has bad, and you leverage the good and you use it to help the people. So if you're doing the right things with it, you can help more people. And if you're doing the wrong things with it, somebody will catch you one day. But we plan to use it appropriately when it will help children to be healthier.
Listen, you're open to it. That's great. Well, so here's a question. I mean, we're past the hour here. We're about to wrap it up. But so, just before we close, I mean, I'm sure you've had some great experiences with great family, you know, family stories, you know, families who've really seen a great, you know, change in their kids and the happier, you know, lifestyle, you know, outcomes, yeah. Right? So can you share with us some of the, a story that just comes to mind that's beautiful, that people can listen as a testimonial?
Yeah, definitely. And so without using names and stuff, of course, for privacy, but I can think of a couple of categories that make a very big difference for families. And it does have to do with the sleeping and breathing. So when the children aren't breathing well, meaning mouth breathing when they're sleeping, bedwetting is such a big problem. And that affects the whole family. And it affects also the social dynamics because it has to be kept a secret. The child can't go on play dates. They can't go on sleepovers. They can't do Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts because the camping trips, like there's a lot of things that happen downstream from that. Meanwhile, that's one of the most rewarding things, is being able to have the child grow and breathe better. And then as the weeks go by, and then a couple of months later, they stop bedwetting. And that is an incredibly happy family, and you know, parent and whole family, when all of a sudden that whole social, you know, dynamic of I'm not a bedwetter anymore, even though we were keeping it private, that's a big thing. The other category is behavior. Kids who are breathing badly at night have worse behavior downstream. And we use these words ADHD, like to describe behavioral changes in kids. And we have seen over the years that the better the jaw growth and the better the breathing, when the sleeping improves, the behavior improves. So downstream from that, we've seen a lot of kids come in where we were able to help them avoid medication or get off medication by being able to breathe and sleep better. And so those are probably the top two categories where it's been life-changing for parents: behavior related to medicine, because again, the medicine treats the symptom, not the cause. And bedwetting, the opportunities that are out there to treat the symptom are terrible, really, for kids. So those two categories are probably the most significant, where it's like you just took the world off the parent's shoulder to have that kind of change for their child to be better behaved, less medicine, and not bedwetting. That's the biggest categories right there.
Well, Doctor, hats off to you and team, because I think you've made a lot of families happy, and you've changed a lot of lives for better. I mean, that's simple. I mean, as you said, if they can behave better and social, you know, socialize better in the world without any ramifications, without having any problems, I mean, that's a big deal. And certainly, you already established that, and you've made the difference for the last two decades you've been working, and it's only going to continue better and just grow there. You're going to have a lot more impact. And so I'm actually glad to have you with us today here. And frankly, I enjoyed this discussion, and you enlightened us in a lot of areas and connected the dots in, you know, I guess realms that we could not possibly put together in the same, you know, you know, dimension here. So you actually put it all together for us in a very easy way. So Doctor, thank you so much for what you do and for being with us and sharing your insights and knowledge. Well, certainly, you know, how can people connect, you know, to you guys through the website?
Yeah, the website's the best thing, www.toothpillow.com. Lots of information in there. Parents can learn more, but there's one little bar to click on. Is my child a candidate? And that's where we can help you out.
Ooh, that's, I love that. I mean, and I think it's just click and send information. The rest is...
Yeah, know, it's and it's a free assessment. It's a free assessment. You can send in information and we'll give you our opinion. What you do after that is up to you, but it's a free assessment. So we're happy to give you our opinion of your child and how they're doing and if they would benefit from early treatment. Meanwhile, explore the website, dig around, because we put a lot of the things we talked about, we built it out farther so parents could see the connections. And there's a lot in there to help them see what they might be observing in their child and how they're connected. The website's got great information for them to learn more.
All right. Well, thank you, Dr. Marilia. It's been a privilege and honor and fun having you on. And so that's it, folks. We're at the end of the show here, American Age. We'll be talking soon with Danish Show. New guest, new topic. Bye for now.